Welcome to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. If you want to create change in any area of your life, you're in the right place. Together, we'll explore the strategies and tools I've used to lose over 100 pounds, pay off $130,000 in debt, and become a multiple seven-figure business owner. I've supported thousands of women to levels of execution and fulfillment they didn't know were possible. So if you're frustrated, if you're doubting yourself, if you're not enjoying the journey, there's a better way. Together, we'll break through your past patterns, we'll eliminate the appeal of your excuses so you can get consistent, stay consistent, create the results you want, and most importantly, enjoy the journey. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thanks so much for joining me today on an episode that is maybe a little bit different from a typical episode. But the reason I'm doing it is because I get a lot of questions, specifically in my direct messages, about this idea of balance as a mom, especially balance as a working mom, balance as a work from home mom, balance as a stay at home mom, especially when I post things without my kids. So whether that is going for a walk or working out, people ask, where are your kids? Do you have a nanny? Is your husband home? How do you find the time with kids? And I want to say I don't have a ton of answers. And what works for us now probably won't be what works for us in 6 months or a year. But I'm always working to make sure that I'm spending my time and my effort in a way that aligns with the things that are most important to me. Prior to having kids, I worked a ton, an absolute metric ton. I mean, and I loved it, and I'm not complaining. I did it by choice. I was a business owner. I certainly could have done other things with my time, and one could argue should have done other things with my time, but I was doing exactly what I wanted to do with my time. And it was easy to do so. It was easy to get up at 4 or 4:30 in the morning and work and leave whenever I wanted for a workout and work out as frequently as I wanted to. And it was so much easier to prepare meals because, you know, it was just me. Even when I was dating Chris, it was just me. Life looks very different now on pretty much every level. At that point, I had one business. Now I have two businesses and a nonprofit, and I'm a landlord. So I have multiple properties and I'm an investor. So I've got investments that I keep an eye on and actively work towards improving on a regular basis, at least for some of them. Some of them are a little bit more hands-off. On top of that, we have what I consider fairly high-maintenance property, and we have 11 goats and 13 chickens plus a dog. The twins are 9 months old. Roman just turned 2. And I want to take care of myself and my health. So this episode is me sharing my thoughts on that and what is working from the very practical around laundry and cleaning to the more big picture perspective stuff, and they all play a really important role. But I just want to reiterate that it will look different in 6 months and in a year and 3 years, and I want it to. I want to continue to refine our systems, and I also want to always be flexible because my business's needs will change, and my children's needs will change, and my health needs will change, and my preferences and desires, and the kids' preferences and desires. I have been reminding myself and my clients a lot lately that consistency requires flexibility. And a lot of times it's easy to see consistency and flexibility as like opposing things, but they're not. They're not. Flexibility is required for consistency, and it doesn't absolve us from consistency. So the way that I like to think about this is I love to get up before my kids. And that is often when I prefer to do my walk and my workout and some stuff around the house, like emptying the dishwasher and folding laundry. But sometimes the kids get up early, or sometimes I don't get up early. And that requires flexibility, that flexibility doesn't take away from consistency. It doesn't mean that because I didn't get up at 5 or because I didn't get my walk in that I've messed up and consistency is now a problem. It just means that I have to remain flexible and creative in where and how and when I execute these things that are priorities for me. When it comes to the phrase balance, which is typically how these questions are presented, how do you balance everything as a stay-at-home mom, a work-from-home mom, a mom in general, as a business owner? And the honest answer is probably I don't. Here's why. There is a perspective on balance that means to some people all things get equal or relatively the same amount of energy, attention, emotion, investment. I don't subscribe to that notion of balance. My work does not get the same amount of time as my kids. My health does not get the same amount of time as my kids. And honestly, it doesn't need it, right? If we think about the things that I want to do daily, strive to do daily for my health, we could add up the amount of minutes that that takes from walking to working out to reading and that food prep, eating, the number of minutes doesn't compare to the number of minutes that I spend with my kids in a given day. And that doesn't mean that it's out of balance. To me, balance is about responding appropriately to imbalance. And I visualize this as a balance beam. If you notice that you are leaning to the left, balance is your ability and your willingness to appropriately respond and go to the right. Balance is responding appropriately to the perception that things are out of whack, off kilter. So when I have this sense that on a given day, my work didn't get the time that it needed, the effort that it needed, balance is about responding appropriately to that. The other important point to make here is that balance can't be assessed on a given day. So there might be a day where the kids are not feeling well, or Chris has other things to do, I'm solo with the kids, and I don't work at all. That's not a problem. I have a whole week, a whole month, a whole whatever to give more time to work or to myself. It puts a lot of pressure on people to think about all of these areas of our life in a given day. There's not enough units of time or energy to fit all the things into one day. But when we look at it with a broader time horizon, whether that's a week or a 2-week period or even a month period, it's a lot easier to feel that you are hitting the marks. For example, right now, I'm usually working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday mornings for a few hours, and then most days in the evening after the kids go to bed. But that means that on those days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when I work from, say, 8 in the morning to 11:30 or 11 in the morning, I'm spending less time with my kids on those days than on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when I typically don't work at all or only work after they go to bed or before they wake up. Similarly, if we look at a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday, my work is getting nothing from me the majority of the time. That's not a problem, unless I'm micro-analyzing a day and feeling like, oh my gosh, I didn't get any work done. And that's a perspective thing. So expanding the time horizon and then being honest about the fact that things don't need the same amount of time or even the same amount of energy or even the same amount of emotion for you to be adequately showing up in those areas or even overperforming in those areas. When I think about my house, so for the longest time, we had a cleaning lady for years. And recently, we put that on hold and we do not have our cleaning service anymore because it was just more difficult to have it than not have it because of disruption with like naps and what are we going to do, pack everybody up and leave? Or if people are sleeping and then it's loud and there's people talking and there's vacuums and there's, you know, people banging around. So it was just easier not to. That means that Chris and I do the routine cleaning that we hadn't done for a long time. But still, that doesn't take the same amount of time or energy or effort to feel handled, tackled, well cared for as, say, my health or my work. It's easy to overwhelm ourselves when we just, this is the game that I've recognized myself playing sometimes, listing out all the things that are on my plate. I have to take care of the animals and I have to take care of the kids and I have to take care of myself and I have to take care of the house and I have to take care of this business and this nonprofit and that tenant and this thing and that thing. And when we do that, of course we feel overwhelmed because we're not being specific and we're acting as though those are all equally demanding obligations, and they're not. So when I start to feel overwhelmed, I will force myself to get really specific. Okay, if I feel overwhelmed about work, what are the things that I want to execute for work? And then again, I'll come up with a list. I want to record this podcast and this thing and this thing and this thing. And even looking at it, it can feel daunting until I say, how much time does this require of me? And maybe there's one thing that's like 3 minutes. Or there's another thing that's a phone call. The other day, I realized I had been putting off this task of, I don't know if you've ever had to book multiple flights for an unaccompanied minor. My bonus daughter, Chris's daughter from a previous relationship, I had to book her several flights. And you can't book flights for an unaccompanied minor through Delta online. You have to call. And I had been putting it off because I know that it's just this annoyingly long process. But then I realized, well, I have a solo car ride that's, you know, over an hour. I can do it then and it'll just feel like nothing. It's not going to demand anything from me. I don't have to push something else off. But it was the act of saying, what does this require from me of energy? What does this require from me of time? That suddenly helps to reduce the noise of overwhelm and feeling overburdened that we don't get when we just generalize and we throw everything together in one big pot as if all of these things are huge or all of these things are significant, and they're not. And they're not. I want to kind of start back at the beginning because a lot of people ask what Chris does for a living. And a lot of people think that I have the flexibility I have because of his work. And it's kind of actually the opposite. I have the flexibility I have because of my work. Chris doesn't work. He temporarily stepped away from his job right before the twins were born because I was in the hospital and he had to be with Roman. And then after the twins were born, we were all kind of in Boston. And when I was at the hospital, he was with Roman and vice versa. And then in January, the twins came home in November. In January, we just decided that me being a primary breadwinner anyway, it just didn't make sense for him to work. It made more sense for him to be here to give me the flexibility to work. However, for our family in this season, it doesn't work for us. It doesn't work for Chris to, say, be with the kids by himself Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. And it wouldn't work for me either. It wouldn't work for me to be away from my kids. And so I try to do a fair amount of the work for my businesses after they go to bed in the evening. But I also am not going to, you know, have a situation where I'm staying up until 2 o'clock every morning working. So Chris, more or less 4 days a week, takes the mid-morning shift with the kids. So I'm downstairs through breakfast, through getting everybody cleaned up, getting everybody dressed, kind of getting everybody settled into the day. Then I come upstairs and work while Chris is solo with the kids. But I'll remind you of what I remind myself regularly. All of this requires flexibility. Though we have a very loose schedule where then I come down around 11:30, do lunch with Roman, put him down for a nap, and then Chris is free to do whatever Chris wants or needs to do in the afternoon until I start to prepare dinner. And he comes in and takes over with the kids at that point. And we spend the evenings together collectively most of the time. There has not been a week where that goes according to plan. And that is okay. That is not a problem. That doesn't need to be met with frustration or irritation. We expect that it is a loose structure requiring flexibility all the time. For example, the ideal is that Monday through Thursday, I work from like 8 to 11, 11:30. But every single Thursday, the girls have a therapy appointment at 10 o'clock in the morning. So on Thursdays, I usually only work from 8 to 9:30 in the morning. And then the rest of the work I get done after the kids go to bed at night. Or if my mom comes over while Roman's napping, she can hang out with the twins while I get a little work done. But it's a huge priority for me to be present with my kids. And I know that that choice means that I have to be very flexible and a really great steward of my time, which we'll talk about in a little bit. We get the question all the time, do we have a nanny? We have an amazing woman who comes for a few hours, 3 days a week, and primarily hangs out with the twins, which allows on Monday and Wednesdays, Chris to have one-on-one time with Roman. And on Fridays, when I don't work typically, I get one-on-one time with Roman and we just get some extra help with the twins because it's a lot and that works for us right now. I can't imagine her aspiration in life is not to be a child care provider. And so when she finishes the schooling that she's doing now, I'm sure she'll pursue that. So this isn't like a long-term solution, though we love her and would love for that to be. It's just really helpful in this season when the twins are not at all independent. And the other thing is my mom is nearby. Chris's dad is nearby. When she retires, Chris's mom will also be nearby. And we are not shy about asking for help, whether that is because we want to do something with the kids and would benefit from an extra set of hands, or I have to go get my lashes done and I want to give Chris a break. I'll ask my mom to come by. And one thing that I think is important to note, and I think parents of many small kids maybe can relate, we don't leave anybody with all three kids. So like I mentioned, we have this amazing girl who comes a few days a week to help with the twins. She doesn't ever have all three kids, Roman, who just turned 2, and the twins who are 9 months. More often than not, she focuses on the twins and Roman is either with Chris or with me. When my mom is here, same thing. Either she'll be with Roman and we'll have the twins, me or Chris or both of us, like if the twins have a doctor's appointment or whatever. But we don't at this point feel like it's fair to have any one person with all three kids because it's a lot. It's a lot when all three of them need something at once. So Chris and I are comfortable with that, but we're not comfortable with somebody else having all three. So that's kind of why there are a lot of moving pieces. The other huge thing that I have had to do in making this decision that I want to spend the most of my time with my kids, but I also have these businesses to manage, I let go of a lot of things that are not essential. For example, a couple weeks ago, I sent out an email that the Changemakers journals are going away. The reason for that is I created the consistency calendar inside the consistency course, and I love that. And I also love the Changemakers journal and ultimately would love to create a hybrid of those two. But I'm not doing that right now because I'm only doing the things that I feel I need to do now in my business and everything else is waiting. That means the consistency, the Changemakers journals are going away. It means that I spend far less time on email. It means I don't show up on other people's podcasts as much. There were so many things for years that I did because I had the time to do them. And when you shrink down your work container, you just become a lot more selective about the things you say yes to. And that is massive for being able to spend as much time as I want to spend with my kids. The other thing that is probably not as popular is I watch very, very, very little TV. And if and when I do watch TV, because like anybody else, I love a good junky, trashy TV show, I watch it on my phone while I'm walking or while I'm cooking or while I'm folding laundry. in this season of life, it is not the season where I feel like I benefit from laying on the couch for an hour or two or three of TV. If I can do that, I want to go to bed. I would rather use that time for work so that I can spend more time with my kids. So it's not that I don't watch TV, but there are things that I do where that's not going to get in the way of my priorities. And I'd rather use my time and energy to create an amazing life than observe somebody else's fictional amazing life or reality TV not so amazing life. Good time management is absolutely essential. Part of that is keeping up rather than catching up. We waste so much time responding to our own inefficiencies. And that can be something as small as laundry, or if you don't keep up with house cleaning and something you do yourself, and then it suddenly takes a ton of time to do it. I remind myself regularly that it is dramatically easier to keep up than to catch up. There's this Instagram account I've mentioned before called The Barda House, and she recommends doing a full load of laundry every single day from wash, dry, fold, put away. That is so helpful to me. Laundry doesn't feel daunting anymore. It doesn't feel overwhelming. And I take that mindset and I apply it to other things. I try to keep up with the kitchen instead of catching up, and then it feels overwhelming and it takes a lot more time. I'd rather take 5 minutes after breakfast and clean up than feel like it's going to take me 45 minutes at the end of the day to clean a disaster of a kitchen. Keeping up rather than catching up, which means spending less time on my phone and, again, watching less TV. But that the whole laundry thing is a philosophy that can apply to many other things. I mentioned this earlier, but a huge piece of juggling the balls for me is when I can, getting up before the kids. They typically wake up between 6:30 and 7 in the morning. I prefer to get up around 5. And when I have that hour and a half to 2 hours, I can go for a walk, I can work out, read my Bible, have my coffee, and still have time to come in, get the day prepped for them, get bottles made, get outfits set out, make sure that there's diapers for everybody in the living room, start breakfast. And then when they wake up, I'm in a really good place and I don't feel like my hair is on fire. I don't like that feeling. But of course, there are many days when it doesn't happen that way. This morning, it was because Charlie and Roman were fussy and needy around, 5:30, 6 o'clock. And so that is a priority. And I work to optimize my attitude and my time management in response to that instead of feeling like, oh, really? I didn't get to do XYZ this morning. In terms of work, one of the keys for me is deciding ahead of time how I'll use my time and what time I'll work in. So usually that means Monday through Thursday, I start around 8 in the morning. The day before, I not only decide what tasks I will do, I also decide the order in which I do them and when I will take breaks and for how long. Here's why. Have you ever sat down to work and been like, oh my God, I have so much to do. I don't even know where to start. That is a waste of time. That is a waste of energy. It doesn't have to be that way. When I sit down, I know exactly where I'm starting. Or have you ever sat down and you're like, all right, it's time to work and you know what you're going to work on, but instead you're scrolling Facebook for 15 minutes or you're shopping on Amazon for 20 minutes. I know that I will need mental breaks. I know that. This work thing isn't new to me. So I plan for them. For example, the first thing that was on my list of things I was going to do in my work block today, the number one thing I was going to start with was intake forms for new clients in the consistency course. After that, I put in a 10-minute social media break so I could check Instagram or Facebook. And sometimes it's like work stuff. If I see a notification that there's a comment in one of my groups, I use that time for it. And then 10 minutes later, I'm back to the next work thing. And it could be a work thing that takes me 15 minutes, or it could be a work thing that takes me an hour. And I kind of factor in the breaks according to that. If it's a 10-minute thing, I'm probably not going to take a 15 or 20-minute break. But if I was working on something for an hour, I might take a 15-minute break. Sometimes I don't use the whole 15 minutes, but don't just think that you're going to power through your work and then be willy-nilly about, well, you know, I did this and I checked email, and I put checking email on my list. It is not something that I'm just doing willy-nilly and hoping to get back to my work in a reasonable time. Those little distractions, whether they're work distractions of checking email or responding to texts, or they're more mental break distractions like social media or a game on your phone, they will cannibalize your time if you are not being intentional. There's nothing wrong with taking a break, but I think letting that pattern control you instead of you controlling that pattern is a bad move. So I plan for those things. I know what things I'm going to do on a given day. I know the order in which I'm going to do them. And I follow my own structure when it comes to breaks. Like right now, I have a tab open for the Dagny 5K registrations. I'll check that during a break. Otherwise, if I'm going back and forth between like my editorial calendar and, you know, something else, it's easy to just like click on that and check it. And then, oh, you know what? I should remind somebody of XYZ. And it becomes this very unstructured, uncontrolled rabbit trail that takes you away from the work you said you were going to do today. We can use our past experiences and our struggles to respond with structure that supports us instead of feeling like, oh my God, every day I waste so much time. I work with a ton of clients on this who feel that way, that like, I'm just not using my time well. I'm not efficient. I sit down to work and I get distracted. Know thyself. Know the things you're prone to do. Don't tell yourself that you're just going to white knuckle willpower it and you're not going to check Facebook or you're not going to check Instagram or you're not going to play that game on your phone. But you control the time of that and the duration of that and, you know, when that shows up in your workflow instead of letting it control you. Another thing that I just feel very passionate about as a work-at-home, stay-at-home mom of young kids, this is huge. Avoid treading water. Here's what I mean. Even if you don't have kids, it's easy for life to feel like Groundhog Day. I got up. I got ready for work. I went to work. I worked all day. I took some breaks for social media. I came home. I made dinner. I sat on the couch. I watched TV. I went to bed. And now I wake up and I repeat it all over again. That sucks. That is not living. That is existing. And they are very different things. Avoid treading water to me means doing something every single day that creates more freedom for you in the future. Doing something every day that is working on something that will create more freedom for you in the future. And that could be related to your health and fitness, or it could be related to your finances, or it could be related to your home, or all of the above. I saw something years ago on social media and it said something along the lines, and I don't know to whom to attribute it, but it said something along the lines of, the most beneficial thing you can do for your future is to block off 1 hour every day minimum for building a project that will give you more freedom. The most beneficial thing you can do for your future is block off 1 hour per day minimum for building a project that will give you more freedom. Now, I don't think it needs to be an hour, and I don't even think it needs to be 7 days a week, but it needs to be some increment of time, some meaningful increment of time. Most days, I would say like at least 5 days a week, that will build you more future. It could be a side hustle. It could be writing a book. It could be getting in the best shape of your life. It could be, building an addition on your home. Anything. All of those things combined. For me, I'm looking at not just what am I doing to tread water and keep us afloat and, you know, keep the kids fed and clothed and the bills paid. I don't want that Groundhog Day life. I don't just want to be treading water. And I think a lot of people are just treading water. Do something every day that is building more freedom for you and for your family. One of the big priorities in my life is financial freedom, knowing that if something were to happen, and this has happened to me multiple times in my life, and I cannot work, that the money still comes in, whether I work or not, to cover our cost of living. So I have that peace when I go to bed at night. That has happened to me multiple times. It happened to me when the pandemic dramatically impacted my business at the same exact time that my daughter died unexpectedly. It happened to me again when I was hospitalized before the twins were born, when I was 21 weeks pregnant and needed surgery on them in utero. And then again at 26 weeks pregnant when I was hospitalized. And then when they were born at 27 weeks pregnant and I spent 93 days going back and forth to the NICU to see them and spending 4 hours a day in the car to get there and back. I want to make sure that I'm not just every day doing the things that need to be done. I'm also doing things that create more freedom for us in the future. In my life, here's what that looks like. One is working on my third book, and I do that 5-ish, sometimes 6 days a week. Another one is streams of income that don't require my active participation. Affiliate marketing is a part of that. Really, the book is a part of that as well. Investments that I have, working on my budget and saving money, working for ways that are passive to make more money. That is a big part of my legacy for my family. And I don't just want to be a task rabbit every single day. And it's easy to be a task rabbit every single day. Avoid treading water. Challenge yourself to invest time most days in something that sets you up for increased freedom down the road. I'm trying to think if there are other things that are a big part of what I consider keeping all the balls in the air. I would say from a mindset perspective, it is finding joy and or humor in things that would otherwise irritate or frustrate me as a mom. I do not inherently love the moments when everybody is fussing or crying. You know, Roman's fussing and crying, Charlie and Piper are fussing and crying. But what I try to practice in those moments is seeing humor in them, finding gratitude in them, seeking beauty in them. Like, there's something beautiful about this moment, even if it's really loud, even if it's also a little annoying, because so much of our experience as a mom is the perspective that we take about it. It's really not that serious, right? I have the perspective of having lost a child unexpectedly. So if everybody's healthy, we're good. We're good. It's not a problem. It's not bad if people are having a fussy, cranky day. I don't have to see. Okay, let me put it like this. I don't have to follow the energy and mood of my kids. Have you ever felt that way? I've certainly done it before, where like if they're fussy and unhappy, then I'm grouchy. I want to be steady and stable, because they're kids and they don't have that skill set yet. I remind myself of that 1,000 times a day, that I'm not going to let their emotional volatility, which is developmentally appropriate, trigger emotional volatility in me. I'm going to be steady. That doesn't mean there aren't moments where I just like step into the bathroom, close the door, and just like, God, I'm going to need some patience right now. I'm going to need a fresh perspective right now. I'm going to need the energy to change. And then I remind myself that I get to be that change in energy. And sometimes if I step out of the bathroom and I start dancing or I start singing or I start tickling them, it changes the energy. But for me, I'm not going to let my energy and the way I show up for my kids or for my husband be dictated by the energy of these three little people, because holy moly, we would have nothing but volatility. So I see their temper tantrums and their meltdowns as opportunities for me to practice being really steady and being a joyful mom in those moments too. Because I mean, look, anybody can be a joyful mom when your kids are giggling and being cute. It's a lot more challenging and requires a lot more effort and a lot more practice and a lot greater of a commitment to be that joyful mom when it's chaos. And I don't know if you've ever had 3, 2 and under. That's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of crying. There's a lot of poop. There's a lot of those things. And I really just want to be not emotionally volatile. You know, I want to be steady. I want to be stable. I want to be joyful. I want them to remember mom as not necessarily unflappable, because certainly things do get under my skin, but I want to be joyful and positive and solution oriented and present and happy, more than stressed or anxious or irritated or frustrated or any of those kinds of things. So if you guys have questions about what we do or what we don't do or what a day looks like or how we handle different things, let me know, because I am always happy to share those kinds of things with you. And no matter what phase of life you are in, I hope that you will take time every single day to invest in building something that creates more freedom for you down the line. We'll see you tomorrow.